The new Star series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galantine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Critics say you won't be able to tear your eyes away. Now, that is a good series, if that's the case.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The pop culture phenomenon MILF Manor is back on TLC.
Dating younger men makes me feel playful.
And this season's best kept secret is out.
Are we dating the sons and their fathers?
My dad's here.
What? You're in competition with your dad.
Oh my God, the dads are hotter than the sons.
And just you wait. There are even more shocking twists to come.
This is going to be crazy.
This is insane.
Don't miss the always unpredictable MILF Manor. Sunday at 10 on TLC. Set your DVR.
Two Teas in a Pod with Teddy Mellencamp and Tamara Judge.
Welcome to this week's Two Teas in a Pod. This is our recap episode with myself, Teddy Mellencamp.
And yours truly, Tamara Judge.
And first, we're going to start off with just a little host chat, and then we're going to bring in two very special correspondents, our besties, Matt and Kaden.
So I feel like I haven't seen you in forever, and it was Napa.
That less than a week ago.
Less than a week ago, but we had so much fun. I had Teddy withdrawals.
I know. I was missing you too, but then I got sidetracked because I booked my neck lift.
Yes, and we're going to talk about that. Yes, we need to talk about that. Yeah, so I, funny thing, like we first time traveling together, stayed in the same room, and it was like we were sisters, like fun. Like, have you ever traveled with somebody and you're like,
you realize they're not your person?
You're not my person. And that's what Eddie...
We're fine.
I know. Eddie's like, so how'd it go with the traveling? Because that's always our test with other couples. And I'm like, really good. Like, flawless. Like,
Because we were on the same page the whole time, too. Yeah. Like, except the one morning you woke up and you were like, can we push the podcast an hour later? I'm like, no, we don't.
Okay. But what happened was we were so tired from our whole week. We had a crazy week. Then we have to go to this event. And so we take, both of us take Avena Rise and Shine at 5 o'clock, full of energy and caffeine. And we were literally staring at the ceiling till 4 a.m. That was not fun.
I know.
But I came home to a shit show. Bronx, our dog, who we've had him for 11 years, I think. And we got him when he was about 2. So he's up there in age. Took him to the vet because he's got rash all over his body. He's got hives and he's limping. And so we take him in. He's got cancer in his throat. He's in kidney failure and liver failure. And we don't know how long he has to live.
Oh, Tam, I'm so sorry.
I know. It's like, oh, Bronx. So they did x-ray. They couldn't see if he had like cancer in his bones or anything like that. I have to take him to have an MRI and an ultrasound. And my question to you is, he's 13 years old. I'm not going to put him through chemo. What do you do?
I think you just know. I think once the vet goes through everything and you say, like, give me his pain levels.
Well, his pain level is pretty high right now because they want to bring him in once a week and give him a shot, a pain shot. And right now he's on pain medication. I said,
is he still eating?
He is still eating. He's kind of, he just suddenly is in so much pain. And I think the tumor in his neck is pressing on nerves or something. So it's just one leg that's kind of limping, and it's just heartbreaking to see, and you're having a hard time. But he's kind of been declining for the past year, like having accidents in the house, which he never, ever had. He's the best dog. And he's so stoic. He has zero expression. Like if he has to go to the bathroom, he just stares. If he's mad, he just stares.
I'm but sorry.
It's so sad. And it's just heartbreaking. And I'm like, I have never had to put a dog down, and I don't want to have to do that. And the question is, like, do I put him through all the testing to see how long we have?
I think he's going to tell you, like, from my history with animals and when we've had to do this, like, you just kind of know. Yeah. Like, you're going to see him one day and be like, this is not fair to him.
Yeah, yeah. So I talked to the vet, and she's like, as long as his quality of life is good, keep him alive. And I'm like, okay, God.
Ugh.
I know.
Well, that's nice and depressing.
Your dog's in the vet?
My dog's at the vet too, but her liver is 7 times the size of what your liver is supposed to be. It's like, so now we're waiting. She's only 3. So we're just waiting for results. Like she's in there now. I'll pick her up after this, like getting her ultrasound and x-rays and all kinds of things. But
$1,400 later.
I know. It's like, it's all...
It's hard. It's hard.
So let's, you know, talk some housewives so we can avoid what's really
Speaking
going
on. Speaking of housewives, I found out
what
that Shannon Bedore wasn't very happy that you called her.
Why?
Well, I don't think she was mad, but she's just kind of like, well, I want to do this one-on-one. And basically a mutual friend of ours. I told him, I said, oh my God, we were drinking and we called a few people. Did you FaceTime Shannon? And how do you have her phone number?
Because she's always like sending me her stuff. And I hung out with her and her boyfriend at BravoCon.
I didn't know that.
But also I've like been team Shannon this entire time. So she can't be mad at me.
No, I don't think she's mad. I think when she basically,
a relationship.
I said, listen, oh my God, I can't believe you did this. Teddy like called Shannon and then text her. And he says, yeah, I know. She was like, I would rather just talk to her one-on-one.
Well, so, good. Then get some balls and call her Shannon.
There's been some mutual friends in between us kind of communicating back and forth. So we have a long road to go, but we both have agreed that we miss each other's friendships.
I agree, too. And since we are limited time with Matt and Kaden.
Let's get them on.
Let's get them on. And then we're going to after they go, we have to talk about Girls Trip. We have to talk about Housewives headlines.
Oh my God, but that trailer is so good.
So good. All right. So we're going to save that till the end. So
and by the way, happy Cinco de Mayo.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. Happy tit day for Tamara.
I was going to wear my hat. It's right here, but that's all I could get. And I was going to drink tequila, but it's too early.
It's too early. Hi, Matt. Hi, Kaden.
Hi.
So we have Matt and Kaden here because we haven't watched Atlanta's for episodes it's probably been since Phaedra was on, since I watched Atlanta. So we're kind of confused on certain things and Matt's here to help us, right?
Yes, help you.
But before we even get into that, we have to talk about something that's been all over Instagram, which is that Giselle is supposedly... dating Cynthia Bailey's ex-husband, who she got a divorce with on Atlanta. So I just went straight to the source and texted Cynthia.
Did.
And I was like, is this true? And Cynthia wrote back, I don't know. Matt, what is that face?
Matt, what do you think the chances of that being true are?
First of all, I didn't know that you had a direct line to Cynthia.
I was in the Celebrity Big Brother house with her. We lived in a hallway together, of course.
And we had her on the pod, too.
All right, well, forgive me. Boot me off, too. No, I saw that, too. Giselle, I love Giselle. She's one of my ultimate favorite housewives. This is strange, bizarre. I guess she didn't watch Atlanta either because Peter is Peter.
Okay. I remember Peter on the show. I don't remember what he did wrong, but I liked him.
So I can say that we have a no comment from Cynthia Bailey on this because she does not know anything. But this also came up on the gram. Marlo says Kenya backstabbed Cynthia Bailey, who's so sweet and has rode Kenya for years. For her to betray Cynthia, I know you're not the friend for me. Do you guys agree or disagree?
I don't agree. You guys watched the first Girls Trip, right?
Yes.
Yes.
He did. How great was that?
Cynthia, to me, came across very needy as a friend, like expecting almost too much. And I personally am a Kenya stan for life and will defend her to the end. And I think Kenya does her job, but I think that she also is ride or die if you're ride or die, I think.
Okay, so what did you guys think of the first episode?
I thought it was great. I liked it a lot. I thought it was better than Orange County, New Jersey, Beverly Hills. I thought it was a good premiere.
Now, is Atlanta one of your favorite franchises?
It has been, but recently, the last few years, it's been kind of, but this year I'm excited for.
Okay, so they were ready for a reboot.
Yes, for sure. Last season was horrible.
So this is their reboot. Who's brand new? Just so me and Teddy know.
Sonia?
Oh, the Olympic girl. I like
her. She's yes.
And this is Drew's second season, her second season of bringing storylines that are questionable and may or may not be fake.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yes. In my opinion.
Well.
Do we have to say allegedly?
We like to say allegedly. So it starts with Drew opens up about her husband, Ralph, and her marriage and counseling. She brings up the text messages she saw between Ralph and his female assistant. Okay. If Edwin had an assistant that offered to give him a massage, that's a no for me.
Who would die first? Edwin or her?
Oh, Edwin. Edwin would for sure die. And also, like, why didn't I approve the assistant?
Did anybody else feel that it was weird that every chance they got, both Drew and her husband would talk about it?
Yes.
Like they were purposely trying to make it a storyline.
So I think, especially for the Drew situation, we have to look at last season, what they did. And their storyline last season was that he had disappeared for 3 days without her being able to contact him. That was their storyline last season.
Where'd he go?
To the beach, apparently.
For 3 days?
Yes.
And never called?
No. So that was their whole thing last season, right? Now, how do you just let your husband disappear for 3 days and not get a... She never got a full explanation.
Well, he wouldn't have any balls left because I'd chop them off.
Yeah. So now they come in with this new storyline this season and it's just like, are you not embarrassed? Like...
I feel like it's fake. That's how my impression. I don't know her. I've never seen her on the show before. Like I said, it's been a few years since I watched. And for her, when somebody's constantly bringing up the very first episode about the massage and like every chance, even he did. And it's like, oh, this is you're trying to prove a point. Fake. What do you think, Caden?
Well, she's an actress. So maybe she's acting to, I don't really know like why she would be so eager to bring it up.
She's an actress?
Actress.
But also something else we have to think about is every scene that she's in, he's lurking right behind her somewhere. Like he like pops out from the laundry room. Like he's there to talk about it too.
Let's just put one thing out there. Okay. While he may have red flags, he is very attractive.
So he gets a pass?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, it's fun to look at him. So it's not necessarily a bad thing that he's lurking, you know.
Okay. So can we talk about Kenya's body from doing Dancing with the Stars? Now, that's every reason why I want to do Dancing with the Stars one day, even though it would be the death of me. Their bodies look amazing, all that training. No.
Well, for me, Kenya, like I said before, I think she's so gorgeous. She's like my number one housewife of all time. I can't ever say anything about her, no matter what she does. I would literally, if she would carry my baby, it would be the one time I'd want to have a child. But yeah, she looks phenomenal because of Dancing with the Stars.
But my question is, are we being led to believe that there was some sort of romantic relationship between Kenya and her dance partner?
It seems like it. Was there any rumors about it? Did anything come out in the press?
I didn't watch Dancing with the Stars, so I don't know how they like interacted. My mom did, so she loves that show, but I don't know. I did think it was weird how like, you know, close and they were in the
premiere. He was at her house.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it just seems, I mean, first they show like, they're like, oh, you're glowing. You're so excited because of your time with him. And then he's at the party, and that maybe this is like part of the home edition of filming of Dancing with the Stars. I don't know. Well, but I thought this was after she got booted out.
Before.
No.
I thought it was before.
No, they were booted off mid-episode.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There were rumors during it.
What did you guys think of Marlo and the selling her fashions?
I liked the museum idea. I thought it was different than like a normal runway. I liked it. I really did. I love Marlo. I think she's so entertaining.
Okay, I'm trying to figure Marlo out. She's big energy. Big energy. 1,000%. She's always been like one. How long has she been on the show?
She's in 10 years.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so she's been on a long time. So
as a friend,
and now she's finally a housewife.
And they let her have a tagline that said something like, I finally get, what is it, Matt? Like, I finally get the peach. Or
yeah, right. That's cute.
They broke the fourth wall with the tagline, which was lovely. Yeah, now there were always rumors that Marlo was never going to get her peach.
But why?
Well, one was because she had used the F word in scene in season four, her first season.
The F word? Like F-U-C-K?
No. Yeah. She had like an iconic fight with Sheree and used that word towards Sheree's friends.
On camera.
Right, on camera.
Did they air it?
Mm-hmm.
They bleeped it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But they would have to bleep it. But yeah, that was one rumor. And then the other one is because she has like a little bit of a violent history.
What do you mean? There's not a little bit of a violent history. Either you're violent or you're not.
I mean, there's like
I kind of got a little bit beat up.
Tamara, yeah, well, you have a little bit of a violent history. Who was the billionaire she was married to?
It was a boyfriend, I think.
Or like they keep referencing.
It was a long time ago.
Over a decade ago.
Yeah.
Like, I also want to know who that person is. Like, we have our work cut out for us.
Oh, because
I need to know every single crumb of detail about her. Why did Sheree come and go?
The first time it was like mutual, they said, because like she was kind of like not opening up like she should. And then she was going through like child custody issues. And then she was brought back season 8 because Carlos King begged her to come back with him because he left the show and then he came back because the show wasn't doing as well. And
he's the producer, by the way, guys.
Yeah, he was like the executive producer at the time. And then she left after season 10 because they offered her a friend role. And then with the chance of being a housewife, depending on how it played out, but she didn't want to take that. So,
and then I have a question. Is Candy pretty much the Kyle of Real Housewives of Atlanta? Like, is she the one that holds everybody together?
Yeah. Well, she's the richest.
Oh, well.
She is.
But she seems like the comic relief.
She's been on like, yeah.
She seems like everybody kind of gets along with her.
She's kind of a voice of reason as well. She's a smart woman.
Here's one tip for Candy as you watch.
Okay.
If you ever hear her voice start getting a little wobbly, you know, it's about to happen.
Is she going to cry or is she going to lose it?
Well, you don't know if she's going to cry, sing. It could be anything, but it gets this like crack in it that you can just tell, oh, crap.
Candy's I can't wait.
And it happens this season with Marlo. They get into it.
Oh, I feel like everyone's going to get into it with Marlo.
Is it about the La Archive? Is that what it's called? Lee Archive? La Archive? I don't know.
It was about her mom and stuff. Like they were going like low, I guess. Like it was like low blows and stuff like that.
Do we get trip. She by Sheree this year? We do, yes. Right?
Apparently,
the finale is her fashion show.
Oh, jeez. All these girls with fashion. Ugh. That's amazing.
Well, like it's been a long time coming because like back in the beginning of the show, she had a fashion show with no fashion.
I and remember so, like, that. This is, like, a I big watched deal. It back then. Yeah. I watched it back then.
So what do you guys think we need to do so that we can properly recap this entire season? Like, what are the key things we need to catch up on so that we can properly do this for the rest of the season.
I think that you and Tamara should rent a cabin in Big Bear and binge the every season from beginning to end over a weekend.
Oh my God, we would be drunk and we'd be dialing people.
We would call every housewife that has ever existed. Like the fact that we called six housewives.
Teddy has balls bigger than an elephant, I swear.
I know.
She will just pick up the phone and just be like, hey, Shannon, this fight between you and Tamara, it needs to end. Like, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you are a ball buster. That's what I love about Matt, you. Because I'm more timid.
You say you're timid, but like, you're not timid, but you're more of a, when I drink. Right. But you'll like send a side text. Like, I can tell you're annoyed by something when you'll side text me something. And I'm like, okay, we'll deal. We got to talk through this where I'm the person.
But you're like I know, but I do that. And then you fix it for me.
I know, that's the problem. I'm like a fixer. Matt,
I know.
Laughed at me yesterday.
Can we circle back to Atlanta? You two could deal with that later. Okay. No. So Tamara,
yes.
Because you did Girls Trip with Phaedra.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the thing with Atlanta is Candy has said if they want Phaedra to come back, she will leave the show, that she will never do Atlanta again if they bring Phaedra back.
Right.
Do you have any insight from the other end?
Okay, so I didn't know anything about that. And it was brought up on the Girls Trip. Somebody, I can't remember who it was, probably Brandy, brought it up to Phaedra and she shut it down. She just went, no. No.
Like, and no, she would never come back?
No, that didn't happen. Whatever happened between she, you know, because there was a big ordeal about drugging or something, mm-hmm. you know, allegedly on Atlanta. And that's when she got let go. And somebody brought it up. I remember at the table and I'm like, what are they talking about? Because I didn't know. And Peter's like, no, I'm not having it. Didn't happen.
I mean,
just the time I spent with Phaedra, so nice, so sweet. Such a godly woman, like so kind, the peacekeeper, so funny. Like I fell in love with her.
She is funny.
She's really funny. So I don't know. I just don't see that happening.
And she's a great housewife.
Yeah. Well, guys, we have to take a little break. Before our break, is there any other, like the Candy tip with the shaking voice, is there anything else you want to leave our listeners with as we close out our Atlanta recap?
Buy Kenya Moore hair care. CVS is nationwide.
Okay, that's a good plug. I did a photo shoot with Kenya once. So sweet, fun.
Oh, I love her so much.
We need to have her on. All right. Thanks you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Do you think Abuelita knows best? Wilmer Valderrama here, executive producer of the podcast De My Abuelita First. And we definitely do. Join us while our host, Vico Ortiz, and our abuelita, Liliana Montenegro, play matchmaker for you loving hopefuls out there. Vico?
Yes, yes, Wilmer. We are ready for another wild ride. Listen every Thursday as abuelita Liliana and I meet three single cuties who will vie for a date with one lucky dater. Except, to get their heart, they have to win over abuelita first.
How PG is this?
Not at all. Totally are. Abuelita's here, so bring it.
Through speed dating rounds, hilarious games, and AI, Abuelita's intuition, one contestant might be lucky enough to become the perfect match. Let's see if Chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps.
Listen to De My Abuelita First as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back to talk a little Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion part one.
Holy shitballs.
That was crazy. Lot.
That was a lot. At one point, there was so much screaming. I'm like, I couldn't even imagine how Andy, well, we do see in the future how he reacts, but it was too much talking all at once.
But you can tell that Teresa's been a housewife for a long time and how much love Andy has for her because he gives her so much grace compared to like how you would see him maybe talk to like, I don't know, when he's like annoyed by like a Noella or something, you know, like.
But can't you tell when Andy likes somebody and maybe doesn't like somebody? Even on Watch What Happens Live or at the reunion.
For sure.
You can always tell.
But you can tell he likes Teresa. I don't think he loves Jen.
I don't think I love Jen right now. I didn't like the way she was acting. I'm just, you know, Jen, just for the record, you're only as good as this week's episode. And she kept butting in. She tried to be confrontational about everything. And it reminded me of Emily, except for Jen's.
I know she was a little bit too, you know, it starts off where Jennifer says she was happy in her marriage until Margaret brought up what she did. Dolores questions if she's really happy and then goes, then start acting like it.
Right. I agree with Dolores.
But here's the thing. I feel like they did start acting. I mean, I don't know if it's starting acting or they just were. But once they kind of got through it, I saw Bill and Jen having a good relationship on the show.
I agree. And who knows what's going on in that household and who knows what's for cameras or whatever. But they seem happy. But she looked beautiful. Jennifer looked stunning. Like her face just looked flawless. And her outfit, I thought she was best dressed. I really loved her dress.
I thought they all looked beautiful.
But I have one question.
Yes.
Is Melissa and Jackie the only ones that don't have new teeth because they're the only ones that didn't glow in the dark?
I was honestly going to ask Jackie that on our thing. Who all got veneers?
And they all go to the same doctor. And they all glow in the dark. And I don't know if it's because they're so tan. And by the way, how do they not have skin cancer? They look like they bake in the tanning beds all day long.
I think that, yeah, the teeth were a lot. They were the brightest, whitest teeth I've ever seen.
I think Margaret and I think that Teresa definitely got new teeth.
It's hard to tell between the Facetune pictures that they post versus what we're actually watching on the reunion. It's very hard. Yeah.
What do you think about Andy comparing Joe Judice, is that how you say it, to a caveman, and Louie to Oprah?
Well, is that what
he was saying?
I know Andy comparing them, saying they're polar opposites, but also I don't know that I really would be thrilled to be married to either one of them. You?
I don't know. I'm afraid to talk about Louis.
I would be
afraid. I've already been unfollowed.
Yeah.
Still follows you.
I know she does. So I'm going to tread lightly. Just kidding.
Yeah, tread lightly. You're next.
She was hard for me this reunion. I make mistakes all of the time, consistently. But I think if you're unable to see when you do something wrong ever, like the fact that she thought, you know, even the Melissa conversation.
That actually broke my heart for Melissa. I felt like finally she did stick up for herself against Teresa. But just the way Teresa talked back to her, she just disregards her and pushes her away and literally talks to her brother like as if she's not there. Like,
right. But here's the point. This is where I have an issue with that. Fine. If that's how you want to do it. But then when you're in trouble filming, why are you always looking to Melissa to have your back?
Right. When she doesn't have her back.
That's what doesn't make sense to me. Like, if you want us all to believe that Melissa should stand up for you all the time, in scene, or else she's dead to you or whatever it is. It's got to go both ways in some capacity. And here's the thing. If they're not friends, if they're not close at all, then let's see that on the show 100%. Let's not try to read through the line.
But I feel like Melissa all season has been treading lightly. Like, and you can see it. And you can, even with her, maybe Joey doesn't want her to talk about it. I don't know. But I wish she would. And it made me feel good that she actually did at the reunion. And for Teresa to say, like, we're not close.
We're going to have to talk to Jackie a little bit more about this, because I am curious what their dynamic is when they're filming. Like, is there any sort of closeness? And, you know, then they also talk about the fact that not only is Melissa not a bridesmaid,
right,
Louis's sisters are.
Right. That's why I had to rewind that. I'm like, what? His sisters are, I don't know. It's just, it's bizarre to me. And then for her to say, well, I was in your wedding. Yes, but I was pregnant.
And they should have pushed back the wedding.
I'm like, you are a selfish person. You really are, by making that comment.
That was unbelievable.
It's not about you, Teresa. It was about your brother and your sister-in-law that day.
But also, I want to do a PSA to anyone listening to this. I don't want to be anybody's bridesmaid anymore. Like, I am good. I have been a bridesmaid enough times. I do not want to be a bridesmaid. And if you're on your second or third marriage and you're getting married again, have your daughters. And but I know.
Watch it.
I saw your bridesmaids.
I know. But mine was a TV wedding.
Well, this is, what do you think this is going to be?
Well, we haven't heard yet, but I'm assuming it's going to be. It's either going to be a special, which it probably will, or it's going to be on the show.
Right. Which my point is this now to bring more fame to Louis's family? Because now we're going to meet the sisters and they're going to, you know what I mean?
True colors always come out. So everybody seems to be warning her about him, but eventually it all comes out. So we'll see. He could be a great guy. Who knows?
And I actually was proud of Joe Gorga, proud as if he's my son. I was proud. I was proud of Joe Gorga this episode because
me too.
He spoke logically. He didn't get angry, but I feel like obviously it's going to escalate after this episode.
Yeah.
The quitting thing happens.
I know.
But what he was saying was true. But also, I think it's really telling when they both don't talk to each other when they're not filming. Even brother, sister don't.
Yeah, that's sad. But how about Dolores not being invited to Teresa's engagement party? And Teresa says it was for couples only.
Well, that makes me really, I personally have never been to an engagement party that is couples only. No. I've been invited to weddings when I was single, not with a plus one, because I've had a boyfriend and not been married. Yeah. And that I think can be customary. Like if somebody's not your life partner, then you're not going to get a plus one.
Do you feel like maybe he's trying to control her a little bit? Like,
I think she's trying to control anybody from the show knowing anything
about him.
About him.
But and Dolores is her really good friend. And she's always there for her. And you could tell that Dolores was, she was sad about it. And it's such a good friend to say, like, as long as she's happy. And I'm like, really, Dolores? Like,
I know, but she has to, because the alternative is going to just be freaking brutal. But well, I mean,
that's not good either. If you have a cast member on the show that everybody's afraid of.
I know.
Like, if you can't be yourself, like, I don't feel like Melissa can be herself. I don't feel like Dolores can be herself because they're afraid of Teresa.
Well, the thing that is a little bit confusing to me is you can understand when the behavior is happening during the show and maybe you don't realize what you're doing. And then you see yourself back and you're like, yeah, you know what? I maybe shouldn't have done that. Yeah. But we're at the reunion now. So you've witnessed your behavior.
Right.
How are you doubling down?
It doesn't make any sense.
Enough
with the jewelry and the hair.
I know.
I can't with it. The pearls, the diamonds, the crystals, I just can't anymore.
And I know. Well, we have to move on because we have other things we need to talk about before we wrap for today, which is first and foremost, the girls trip trailer.
Okay.
Do you think Abuelita knows best? Wilmer Valderrama here, executive producer of the podcast De My Abuelita First. And we definitely do. Join us while our host, Vico Ortiz, and our abuelita, Liliana Montenegro, play matchmaker for you loving hopefuls out there. Vico?
Yes, Wilmer. We are ready for another wild ride. Listen every Thursday as Abuelita Liliana and I meet three single cuties who will vie for a date with one lucky dater. Except, to get their heart, they have to win over Abuelita first.
How PG is this?
Not at all. Totally are. Abuelita's here, so bring it.
Through speed dating rounds, hilarious games, and AI, Abuelita's intuition, one contestant might be lucky enough to become the perfect match. Let's see if Chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps.
Listen to De My Abuelita First as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, the story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so first question, who are you friends? These are fan questions from our Instagram.
First of all, did you like the trailer?
I thought it was so good. And can I share the portion about Eddie?
What portion about Eddie? No, you can't. Shut up. Okay, go ahead. He probably doesn't listen to the podcast.
Oh my gosh, this is so good. So okay. Tamara, you know.
If you follow me on Instagram, you probably figured it out. So go ahead.
Tamara shows her tits in Girls Trip again, like she does on every time she's on the show. I haven't seen your tits though, which is now I'm starting to get offended.
Well, they're not that great to look at. And let me remind you, that was six or eight weeks after I had explant surgery. So I have big purple scars going under, and I'm like,
oh, whatever. That is not the point. The point is, before Tamara posts the trailer, she re-edits it with her tit part not being in it so that Eddie doesn't see it. It's so good.
Let me just tell you, because on his birthday party, I think I told you, we got very intoxicated. We had a birthday party here and I blacked out. We were drinking tequila, which is not good for me. And evidently I showed my tits it's only close friends and family, but that's what I tend to do, right? I mean, I didn't go on Instagram and do it, but next day he says, can I talk to you about something? I'm like, yeah, sure. He's like, can you please stop doing that? It bothers me. Like, and I go, I didn't even know I did it. He goes, well, that's the problem. Stop doing it. And I said, okay, I will never do it again. And then the trailer comes out and I'm like, oh shit. Like, here we go.
When are we going to tell him?
When he sees it.
Well, no, tell him he's going to see it because I'm going to request this clip to be the part of the podcast.
You're such an ass. God, you're an ass. I'm waiting, you know, I know it's going to be the, are you kidding me? You did that again. And I'm like, yeah, I did. And then it'll be like the cold shoulder for a couple hours and then he's over it.
Then I'll move on. Maybe you should wait till right after sex to tell him.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Wait till like a good 3-minute rendezvous.
Yeah.
After you guys take a bath together.
Oh yes, because we do that often.
Okay. Next question. Did Vicky get jealous at any point if you were getting along with others? You know, like how she gets.
No, she didn't get jealous, but when she was away, she took a trip to the hospital, like she always does in every trip. The girls said to me, God, you're so different without her. God, you're so much more fun without her. They said that to me on the show. So I'm like, really? I don't notice it. I think on trips, I tend to mother Vicky and try to keep her.
I was going to say protect her.
I protect her and try to keep her on track. But I couldn't handle another, you know, we're only there 8 days. I can't take the day to go take her to the hospital.
Because when she's back from the hospital, I need to know, was there an actual injury, something that needed to be going to the hospital for?
She was sick. So
with COVID?
I don't want to give it away, but
you'll
see. Yeah.
And then I feel like everybody already knows this, but your biggest conflict is with Brandy, right?
Brandy and Dorinda of all people.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. And who got the drunkest?
Oh, wow. That's hard to say because we were all drinking. I probably would say Brandy, because Brandy, you know, she does it big when she drinks. And then the next morning she's like, yeah, I don't really remember what happened last night. But hey, none of us were far behind her. None of us. Well, you know who didn't? Phaedra didn't drink. Eva was very.
Yeah. Was anybody super controlled the whole time? Hold on. What's her name from Beverly Hills? She didn't say one word in the trailer, I don't feel like.
She doesn't say a lot in the show either.
Not many words.
Not many words. We actually have a night where we're like, find your voice. You need to find your voice.
Do you think she was intimidated or do you think that's just her personality type?
I think that's her personality type. I don't know. I can't remember way back to Beverly Hills when she was on. She had a few moments.
Can you remind me her name?
Taylor Armstrong.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Was making me.
Yeah, she actually lives in Orange County now.
She does?
Yes. Our daughters go to high school together. And I see her once in a while.
So who was the most fun and who was the least fun?
Wow. Jeez. The most fun. They were all fun. Brandy was pretty fun.
BS answer.
I would say Brandy's fun. Dorinda was fun. The most fun. I don't know. We were all great. Me. I was the most fun.
Okay. And then who was the least fun?
The least fun. That's a mean question.
Didn't ask it. It's okay. Right here on the rundown.
I think Taylor, because she's just kind of quiet, so you don't know. She's, you know, she's really inside her head and super sweet, but I would say she wasn't really the one that was, you know, going all out.
And then we just have one housewife headline we need to cover because it's new to the gram today, and it's these Lisa Rinna posts right here.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first one is.
She came with receipts.
Yeah. Harry and I have been going to the Elton John Oscar party to raise money for AIDS since 2006. We were never guests of Sutton Strack ever. In 2019, we had our own table that we were scheduled to sit at. At that time, Sutton was desperately trying to get on Real Housewives, and I was happy to help her. So she asked us to sit at her table at the event. I said, sure, why not? And I gave up the table we were assigned to sit at. That's the story. The rest you'll see play out on May 11th. Right. Then she posts all these pictures from the, you know, decade prior of years. That she's gone. And then there's another post today. So that one was at 8:45.
Oh, there's another one.
Yeah. And the one today says, and I don't recall Sutton ever saying thank you for me helping her get on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. One, I shot a scene with her in her kitchen making fried chicken as a favor to casting. Two, then I got all made up and did a sit down interview singing her praises as to why I thought she'd be good on the show as a favor to casting. I didn't ask for a thank you, and I sure didn't get one. Sutton should take several seats. The end.
Well, okay. So this all started because Sutton went on Watch What Happens Live, right? Is that where it came
from? Yeah. And it started from before, but also.
Well, first of all, let me just say, when you buy a table, that's your donation to the charity. And if you give those tickets away and you invite people to your table, like I've been invited to tables that my friend paid for. And obviously,
but that's not what happened. She wasn't invited by Sutton. She was the same way I've gone every single year.
But what I'm saying is who you invite over to sit at your table is they don't owe you anything.
Right. That you've decided to make the donation. Yeah. We're out of time, Tam. So we have to go.
We got to go. Okay.
All right. Well, you guys,
happy Cinco de
Mayo. Do us a favor. We want to switch to TV and film. In order to do that, you have to leave us reviews. They can be good or bad. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Advice, anything.
Anything. Put it in there. I'd appreciate you not saying that I shriek or Tam and I talk over each other because we know. And that's
it's hard. You guys have to know that we are not in the same room. So it's hard to not do that.
So we're doing the best we can.
And then I'm going to stop saying casted.
No, you're not. You said another word earlier that I almost.
Which one?
Something when you were talking about your dog, you said you said something with an S that was definitely not the correct word, but I just let you go with it.
The English language.
Roll back the tape. All right. Thanks you guys for tuning in. And we're excited to have Jackie in the next episode.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galantine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Critics say you won't be able to tear your eyes away. Now, that is a good series if that's the case.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and the Stars app.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blue part?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.